Step right up.
Yeah, we're worried about smelling bad, and we just ate something that you described as smelling like gym penis, so that's fun. You can talk, you're good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Are we recording?
Yes!
Oh, hey guys.
What, was I supposed to give you like a full-on intro?
That's what I was waiting for.
I do pre-roll, where I intro everything that's not us having an organic conversation, so.
Got it.
And we're just doing the old car cast, which is, that's not creepy at all, by the way. Hey, come sit in my car with me while we record dialogue. I imagine people pull, like, if somebody pulled up and was like, what are you guys doing? We're just doing a podcast in our car in the middle of the day in Los Angeles. That's the sound of my seat moving back.
In the sun, with no AC.
Listen, the car has AC. Like, when you say without AC, it makes the listeners think that I drive, like, a fucking 2003 Saturn Ion. Where the doors are made out of, like, hollow refrigerator material, and there's no air. This is a 2013. There's plenty of AC. The problem is it doesn't make for good podcast.
Right. Anyway.
So, Vanessa Johnston, and notice I said it correctly.
You did, good
Johnston,
job.
Yeah. And you just told me to meet you at this place, which is called, am I saying it right, Jitlada?
Jitlada, yeah.
Yeah. Now, how long have you known about this place?
Jitlada and I have been dating for about 6 years.
How horrible would it be to have a boyfriend named Jitlada and to have to introduce that person to people?
Exactly. You're like, my boy. It's really good. Did you like it?
I thought it was great. You kept looking at me like, I was like, this is good. And you're like, you're lying to me.
I thought you were lying because you ate like nothing. And you look like you'd eat way more than nothing.
There it is. See, you said I wasn't fat, but here it is. It's coming out subliminally. Where you had called me thick, and I was like, that's what you describe female rappers as. That's not what I am.
Well, I feel like you're not fat, you're thick.
Okay. But fat enough to have caused you to assume that I would have eaten way more of that gym dick soup. And actually, gym dick soup almost sounds Thai. Like
gym dick soup.
You want that gym dick soup? That's gym what it sounds like. So this
like
guy.
Like gym is spelled G-I-M.
Yeah. Yeah, Jim.
Jim Dick Soup.
Jim Dick Soup. This guy looks like he's looking for a good place to get Jim Dick Soup. I don't know. But maybe he's having a business conversation.
Look
on
at
his
it.
Wireless.
What's around his neck?
It's one of the, it's a wireless, you talk to people.
He looks like he's wearing a necklace.
It looks like, yeah, those are the weirdest wireless headsets I've seen. It's like not, it's wireless, but you have to wear this dog collar for it to work.
We're in Thai Town right now.
Is that what this is?
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense that we came to a Thai restaurant in Thai Town. We're in a Ford sauna in Thai Town.
It's so hot, dude. And you don't have tinted windows.
No. Why would I have tinted windows? Dude, criminals have tinted windows.
Oh, I have a tinted window. I'm like allergic to the sun, dude.
Well, why aren't we doing this in your car?
We should have done it in my car.
Well, we can.
My windows are so tinted.
Okay. So it's going to be cooler?
It's going to be cooler and, yeah. I'm trying to, like, hide underneath your dashboard.
Sun visor? You can probably, like, flip that chair back.
Yeah, maybe.
What are you, like, powder?
No, dude, I'm just really white.
I'm white. Do you not see me? I'm
you're
super
in the
white.
Shade.
Oh, am I in the shade?
Yeah, I'm
do you
want to
sit
side.
In the driver's seat? Now you're good. You're in the shade now.
I always want to be in the dark. Yeah, I think that's better.
You always want to be in the dark? Is that what you said?
Yeah,
that's
dude.
Creepy.
I don't eat garlic.
You're afraid of crucifixes?
I mean, you know. I'm an atheist. I don't want to...
So this thing we ate, the number 97, because I don't know what the hell it's called, but you said it's Jonathan Goldsmith's...
Goldman. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, he's the guy who did the top 100 for L.A.
Yeah, he's the most famous food critic in the world.
Okay.
I mean, in the United States.
Yeah, I mean, part of the reason why I think I do so well on Food Network is that I don't give a shit about any of that. He's always the famous food critic, is he? I'm not a chef, I don't do restaurants, so I don't care. And I've also eaten at a lot of the places that he says are the best, this and that, and I wholeheartedly disagree with him.
Like, Night Market is ranked 6th best restaurant in LA. I don't think Night Market, which is also a Thai restaurant, is not that good. But Jitlada is considered the best Thai restaurant in Los Angeles.
Yes. It's very good. And I like that it has a very authentic Thai kind of vibe. Like, you go in, nothing there is newer than 25 years old. And, like, they have, like, pictures of Thailand over a tablecloth under glass, which is, like, what are you doing?
My hair is so hot from the sun.
Oh, my God.
Right? Yeah, it, like, hurts.
It shouldn't hurt.
Doesn't it hurt you?
No, it doesn't hurt. It's not burning me.
For those of you who can't see what's happening, which is everyone, I'm putting my hair all over Josh's arm.
Yeah, because it's that hot for you. I get it. Listen, we just have to get to the first break, and then we can move to your fucking limousine that you brought that is tinted and has ice under the seats. So, yeah, Jitlada, we ate there. It was okay. I thought it was fine. I don't feel like I eat enough Thai food, though, to say which place is the best and which one isn't.
Well, Jitlada is different from most Thai places in that they have a very large southern Thai menu. And so I know we didn't really look at it when we were ordering, but they have, like, at least 200 items on the menu.
Yes, it's huge.
And like 100 of them.
The menu is like a phone book. They brought it and I was just like, okay, where do I begin?
The lot. And like 100 of the items all incorporate like really weird things. Like they have like oxtail and like fish balls and ox balls. There's a lot of balls on the menu.
I'm getting that.
I think there was balls in the food that we ate.
In the soup.
Acai, shrimp. Omelet curry.
Yeah. Which, by the way, super weird thing to combine all those four foods.
Yeah, I don't even know what the acai is, like maybe leaves, acai leaves. Because typically you eat the berries, but there's no berries in the soup.
Yeah, there was. I was getting no hints of citrus whatsoever.
And I think they put a lot of fish sauce. I don't really fuck with fish sauce that much. Do you like fish sauce?
I used it in something I made last night. Like, I made these Asian green beans, and I usually use soy sauce, and I thought I would try fish sauce. But the only thing I like fish sauce on, for the most part, is, like, roasted Brussels sprouts. Ugh. And then that makes... No, I'm telling you, it makes it very good.
Really?
Yeah.
How do they choose which fish go into the fish sauce? Because I feel like it's probably the shitty fish.
No, I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, they're not going to take...
I don't think there's actually fish in the fish sauce.
There has to be.
I don't think so.
I think it's anchovies.
Maybe.
Why would they call it fish sauce?
I don't know, because for fish, like, steak sauce doesn't have steak in it.
That's true, but... Yeah. No, it does. It has
My
beef.
My logic is sound. No, it doesn't.
Steak sauce?
No.
You don't think it has...
No, it's not beef fat renderings. I'm going to look this up.
I know, me too.
You don't... What, you don't trust me looking it up in front of you?
No, I'm going to look up fish sauce, and you'll take...
I'll take A1.
You'll take A1.
But steak sauce ingredients. Here we go. It's about to be real pod right now.
I'm sure there's, like, beef something.
Steak sauce ingredients is the first Googled thing.
So, fish sauce is an amber-colored liquid extracted from the fermentation of fish with sea salt. So, fish sauce is made with fish.
So, it does have fish juices in it.
Yep.
Yeah, so steak sauce, ketchup, mustard, Worcestershire, apple cider vinegar, Tabasco, no steak fat renderings.
There's no, like, beef flavor?
No. No, it's just all Worcestershire. That's where you get the beef flavor from. What is this woman in front of us doing? She's
really hot. She's too hot to be in this part of town. We're in, like, a sketchy part of Los Angeles.
You think she's hot?
I mean, she's hot for, like, she's next to a 99-cent only store. Like, anyone standing next to that sign is going to be hot.
Okay, so we're using it in the context of this neighborhood. You're saying she's hot for this neighborhood.
She has a back slit in her dress. Like, any chick who has, like, a back, like, when you're wearing a skirt and you have that, like, little slit up the back, like, that means, like, I think you know how to fuck, you know?
Oh, okay. I never knew that. See, this is where I need to have more female friends that can teach me these fashion nuances. Although, is that archaically sexist to say that she knows how to fuck because of what she's wearing?
No, I think it's true.
Okay. You heard it here first from Vanessa, who is a woman.
Yeah.
Verifiably. So it's not me going, any woman like that in a dress like that in this part of town is here to fuck. That's Vanessa saying that.
It's like certain guys, they wear certain things. You're like, oh, that guy for sure knows how to fuck. Like,
what does a guy wear that he knows how to fuck? A helmet? I feel like it's I feel like if I saw a dude in a helmet, I'm like, that guy fucks.
Like, dudes that wear sneakers with, like, the big, what's this thing called on the sneaker? The tag?
The big tongue?
The big tongue? Yeah. Like, when they wear the, when they have, like, sneakers with, like, the thick tongue and they, like, kind of, like, hang out, I'm like, that guy knows how to fuck.
Really?
Yeah.
Big tongue high tops guys know how to fuck.
Yeah.
Because, like, all our dads wore those in the 80s, and I don't think all our dads all knew how to fuck.
I mean, they made us.
Okay. That's maybe not a bad thing. I always thought if a guy knew how to, I always thought guys that wear, like, sandals and have, like, tan feet, I would always think those are the guys that know how to fuck.
Tan feet?
Yeah.
Sandals? No.
No? Ugh. That guy doesn't know how to fuck.
Sandals? No way.
No, okay.
Disgusting.
Cool. Well, I'll make sure wear them so that nobody expects me to fuck.
Guys that dress like that are the guys that think they know how to fuck, but don't actually know
What if they have ponytails?
Those are the kind of guys that watch themselves in the mirror fuck. Those guys are more excited about seeing themselves fuck than fucking the person they're fucking.
Well, okay. I mean, I get that.
So I found out the ingredients for fish sauce. Okay. By the way,
we're all over the board on this already, which is great.
ThaiFoodandTrouble.com says, quote, in case you're not familiar with fish sauce, this is a salty, smelly brown liquid.
So they say it's smelly.
They even say it's shitty, dude. And you put it on your Brussels sprouts. Brussels sprouts already smell. Like, you're making it smell worse or something.
I will take you to a place. Okay, now she pulled the dress down in the front, and that's definitely.
You know what? I think she's a hooker.
Oh, that would be great.
Dude, that's
the most conservatively dressed. Oh my god, did we just turn into like an undercover cop situation?
Dude, she's a hooker because she's standing on a corner in like a sketchy place. She pulled her boobs out. She's looking at her phone.
She's playing with these boxes.
She's on like the Uber of hookers.
what is that?
Like, meet at this corner. She's like trying to be at the right place.
Now she's picking something up off the ground. Is she literally taking a selfie of herself?
Dude, we should take a photo. I'm sweating in your car, dude.
Yeah.
I don't even sweat when I work out.
Really?
No.
That doesn't sound real.
I literally don't sweat when I work out.
I'm definitely sweating, and I normally don't sweat this much either. Are you all right?
No.
You're just dying.
Need to go somewhere colder. I can't focus.
All right. We'll take the first break early since Vanessa is apparently fucking cold-blooded. And we will go... You look like you've never been more grossed out of yourself.
I'm so sweaty.
All right, we'll go to your shaded car and we'll see how that works. And we'll see what this prostitute's up to, too, because she definitely is. She's looking for something.
She's, like, taking photos for her. Okay.
Do you feel better now?
Yes.
Okay, good. I still feel like we're staking out this prostitute.
Where'd she go?
She's in front of my car now.
Dude, fuck. We should go ask her.
Be like, what are your rates? What's a good rate? Welcome to the People Watching LA podcast. That actually would be a cool podcast.
It would definitely take a long time.
Yeah, I mean, you're just driving around trying to find weird people. It would take at least 15 minutes every day to find one and then to talk about them. Are you better? Are you feeling less hot?
Yes.
Okay, good.
We're across from a 99 cent only store, and this is the only store I've seen that the sign, they have a giant sign and it spins around.
That's high budget for 99 cent only.
I feel like they probably take 50% of their revenue and just for the powering of that sign.
Yeah, they blew it all on the rotating sign.
It's like the flagship Hollywood store.
It is. Yeah, it is kind of sick to think that 99 cent only does have what they would consider flagship stores. Like, Jim, we need you to go run the flagship, you know, Harvard and Sunset in the middle of Thai Town. That's the, with the spinny sign. Oh, man, it's been everyone's dream.
We haven't really even talked about food.
Well, we have. We talked about the Thai food, and then you devolved into this thing about prostitutes and heat.
Would you ever be a hooker?
Yes.
Why?
Easy money. Huh. Did I answer too quickly?
No.
You didn't even have to specify what kind of hooker. Like, oh yeah, no, I would.
But okay, if it's that easy, if you were just like, oh yeah, for sure, why don't you do it as a guy?
I don't know. I don't think I'm what people picture when they order a hooker. Like, isn't sleeping with a hooker about getting something you normally Like, you're paying. It's like, you can make steak at home. You go to a really nice steakhouse because you want better than what you can have at home.
But there's plenty of girls that, like, you're still better than what they could typically get. Like,
really?
A really old grandma.
No, I don't want to. Well, that's the thing. I don't want to have sex with the old grandma with all our money. I mean, how much are we talking? See, that's where I feel like it would be weird. Because then I would just show up and I'd be like, well, based on how you look, it's $4,000 an hour. Yeah, I don't know how that works. I don't think I could perform with an old grandma.
Well, you'd definitely be doing all the work.
Yeah, that wouldn't work. I don't do that now. I'm a bottom, that's how I do good that way. I like being a bottom. Sometimes a power bottom, but always a bottom.
What's a power bottom?
Power bottom is somebody who works from the bottom. You don't know what a power bottom is?
Ew.
Yeah, you don't know, and you're telling me about knowing how people fuck based on what they wear. I didn't know that was part of the assessment because you commented on my attire today, and you were just like, you look like you just came from being a roadie at a heavy metal concert or something. Because I'm in my voiceover podcasting, not give a fuck attire.
You're wearing black cargo shorts, a black
cargo shorts,
black cargo shirts.
Yes,
a black T-shirt, a black hat with a pig on it. And
this is the official hat of the podcast.
What shoes are you wearing?
These are Crocs.
You're wearing black Crocs.
Yes.
Yeah, you for sure. You look like you are still waiting for Metallica to make a comeback.
I mean, they never left. First of all, I was very much into Metallica when I was a teenager. These are, by the way, these aren't like people are picturing Crocs, like the clogs. These are like Santa Cruz, like slide on beach shoe Crocs.
How much were those?
These were like $59 on the street. They're 59. For me, they were like 20 bucks because I used to get them at a discount. This is not interesting to anybody else listening to this other than you. Cause everyone that listens to this already knows about the Crocs years.
Cause they probably already wear Crocs.
Well, I mean, I don't understand that. We're talking about my podcast audience, not my Food Network show audience. Although they are probably one and the same. I like a good Croc. You can't knock it until you try it. Oh, wow. Oh, my God. What if this is the guy meeting the prostitute? There's a dude in a motorized cart. He's 70 plus, maybe 80 plus, and he is booking down the wrong side of the street. And he just parallel parked her. And he's standing. It's a miracle. What the actual fuck is happening?
He's looking to see if it's in the lines, dude, on the parking lines.
And then, of course, FedEx Ground decided, hey, these guys are recording a podcast. Let me just go park my glug 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 truck in front of them.
Is that a thing? Oh, with the truck. This guy's literally about to, like, run into me.
Yeah. Well, he thinks this is as good a place as any to park the FedEx Ground and make all of his deliveries.
I wish he could park more to the right so he would give us more shade. Okay, we're literally talking about nobody can see what we're talking about. Doesn't that drive people crazy?
I'm sure. But that's where we, as experienced entertainers, comedians, and podcasters, have to be able to paint a picture. So just picture your grandpap wearing his Navy hat, which embarrasses you everywhere. But this guy's wearing also a Navy suit and he's got the old gray hair coming out of his hat. He looks like Forrest Gump's dad, if that were ever a person. And he's probably meeting this prostitute up here that we've been talking about.
He had a really nice motorized chair though.
Yeah. When he stood up,
it was leather.
It had leather on it. Yeah. Also,
it was
fast.
It had some, it was like, I think it was like souped up. It was moving so fast.
It's like, it's the GT. It's the old man GT.
It's like nitrous looking.
I don't like when people use the cart like a vehicle. Like, I feel like the motorized chair, it's okay if you need it to like get around, but that doesn't become your car. Like, you don't just get in the chair. And if it is, then why aren't we all just in the chairs? Like, if that's how you roll, like, why don't we just all have chairs in L.A.? We could park 1,000 of them on the streets.
You know what bothers me is when people drive golf carts like it's cool.
Courts? Are they like cargo shorts?
Carts?
Yeah, well, they drive those like vehicles, too. That's another vehicle that should not be like a going out vehicle. Uh-uh. That's not, you don't go get groceries in the golf cart unless you're like on a campground or like a beach facility where the, you know, like where the grocery store is also in this closed community. You know what I mean? Like if it's Walking Dead times and you're all in the same compound, then use the golf cart because the car is excessive to go 2 blocks up the street. I don't like in like Venice where people have a golf cart and they just leave their house in the golf cart and park it in front of the bar. And they're just like, there's Jim's cart. He's here drinking.
The best part is like when a drunk girl comes out, they probably take her in their car and she's like, it's like a Jeep, but like smaller.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You think guys pick up in their golf carts?
For sure. Like, it's like, oh, let's be like.
Hop in the cart, bitch.
Yeah. It's like one with the wind. Like, carts are kind of romantic because it's like a convertible.
No, it's not. It has a roof. It just doesn't have sides.
No, but it's like a, I mean, like a Jeep. It's, what yeah. is a Jeep considered when it has no thing on top? Is that a convertible?
No, it's just a Jeep. Hmm. A drop top? I have no idea. Wait, I don't know cars. Do I look like I know cars? I'll tell you where to get a good deal on guitars in this outfit. I won't tell you shit about cars. This podcast, sometimes we talk about food and sometimes we talk about whatever. I try not to like over manage it to where it's not organic. And it's so in such a case where a prostitute enters the frame, we should be able to talk about it.
We should have the acai omelet. So we got this like acai omelet curry. We should have, because we had so much left because we didn't really eat any of it. Yeah. We had like 2 tablespoons. And we should have kept it and gave it to that girl.
Yeah, or a homeless person or something. Although I feel like
that'd be supposed to be like cruel.
It would.
It really did taste.
Hey, do you want hot, sweaty ball soup on this 80-something degree day, homeless man? He'd just be like, are you trying to kill me?
And it's spicy, too.
Yeah.
It's like spicy Jim Dick soup.
Yeah. Jim Dick. That's going to be the name of this episode. Jim Dick soup. That would be bad. Have you ever tried to give food to a homeless guy in Los Angeles and had him reject it?
No.
I have.
But a homeless guy asked me on a date once.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What open mic was this at?
It was actually outside of a club.
Comedy club?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Up in Van Nuys.
Right.
And I watched.
He had just finished his set.
Tony was like, hey. So, yeah, this dude, he was, he walked up to me and was like, hey, girl, you got a quarter? And I was like, no, I'm sorry. He's like, oh, okay. And they started walking away, and they turned around. He was like, are you single? I was like, what?
Yeah.
But he was actually kind of hot, so I was like, oh, maybe.
Oh, okay. Nice to meet you, Steph Simbari. What is the appeal of sleeping with a homeless man?
I mean, like.
No consequences?
You know, because he's like a rescue. Like,
oh, that's what it is. That's what it is. It's the social acceptance and praise you would get for doing it.
And you're like, hey.
I don't think that counts as charity, though, because there aren't, like, fuck shelters for homeless people to go to where there's, like, I just haven't been laid in a while. So, you know, I know I've just left the soup kitchen, headed to the fuck shelter. I'll be set.
I mean, you know, he's good with boxes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Are we really making that? So if you guys don't know Vanessa, if you haven't listened to her on other podcasts or you're not from LA or haven't seen shows or haven't been to one of her shows, you specialize in doing like one-liners like what you just did. And I feel dirty and cheap, not partially from the sweat, but also because you're doing material now on the podcast. I feel like you just slipped a bit in.
I did.
And I don't like it.
Well, I mean, we can go back to talking about the hooker wearing a striped dress.
Is she still out there? I don't see her anywhere. She's gone.
I haven't sweated this much. It's so hot. It's hardly even in my car, dude.
Yeah. Well, your car is way not as hot as my car was, because my car is sitting in the blazing sun.
I'm going to have to, like, paint my face back on after
We
this.
Could have just... It's fine. We could have just went to my place, which is in the valley, like, 10 minutes that way. I don't know. We still could. Just because I figured you're in a hurry. So yeah. I didn't want to make you drive another 20 minutes.
I mean, you could have also just driven 5 minutes to find shade.
Yeah, but then you got to, like, find a place to pay to park. And it's, you know, we're not in, like, the most rural part of Los Angeles. So you've, like, we'll get into more topic type stuff. You're kind of like a jack of all trades.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah, you've done some, like, crazy shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you're, like, super young.
Mm-hmm.
This is all very thrilling. Your one word and one sentiment responses are very thrilling, Pod.
Right.
For the people.
You want me to tell them, like, my life story? Like, what's going on?
No, you don't have to, like, what's happening right now? No, I don't know. Just talk about it. This is the first time in the history of people that a woman has had a hard time talking about herself. No, but like you're not just a comedian. Like, I think that's exciting. People probably want to know that.
Well, I have a startup.
Yes.
We specify in
which is in Thailand.
It's launching in Japan.
I know. She's trying to be funny. I just think it's funny that I'm this character right now who doesn't understand the difference between Asian nations. But Japan is where your startup is. And what do?
We develop premium biohazard protection products for consumers.
Right.
So we reinvent
breathers.
Air filtration face masks, even portable air filtration units. Like, we incorporate molecular conversion. So, changing CO2 into oxygen and stuff like that.
Yeah, so you're basically capitalizing on the creepy germaphobe Asian folk.
And air pollution.
Yeah. So you're kind of like a zombie apocalypse startup.
I mean, sort of.
Which is pretty cool.
But it's
made a face yeah.
I mean, you know. Well, I was so pissed because Beijing just on Forbes, they just did an article last week about how now Beijing is trying to shut down 80% of their coal plants. So now the pollution's going to go way down, which is, good for the planet, but I'm
bad for your startup.
Fucking way to go, Beijing.
Well, the good news is North Korea is probably going to nuke that whole region, and so your guys' stock is going to go through the roof.
We're going to have to create, aesthetically pleasing,
biohazard suits.
Fucking suits.
Yeah. Anti-radioactive
sexy,
stuff.
Sexy, Catwoman.
Yeah, but with, a giant, tank helmet. You remember, the old scuba diving gear where it was literally just, a space suit, but then they had this big metal, riveted helmet with a thing that you look through. Oh god, that is not from me, is it?
Yeah,
oh god, I'm so sorry.
You're so sweaty, you're putting pools of sweat on my
I have leather, wipes in my car. Oh. I will use them. Did you literally just take my sweat and put it in your mouth?
No,
oh god, that's so creepy.
Oh, I have to pee so bad.
All right, that's like
could
arm
take another
sweat
break?
Yeah, we could take another break. This is you're the most high maintenance guest I've ever had so far.
Yeah, then I'm going to, find more agents, because everything I've been doing on my own, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's like that when you start. When I first started doing stand-up, and people are probably sick of hearing this story, when I first started doing stand-up, my booking agent was a guy who was an ex-male stripper, so not to go far off your question of would I be a prostitute, kind of used to work for one. He booked male strippers, and then when he retired, he became, their booking agency, and then he had all these small town bars and clubs around the Midwest, and he would book the strippers 1 month, and then he would book me and my friend to come in and do comedy the next month. So we would make $600 between the two of us to do these small town bars, and we would do 15 of them in 20 days. So we made great money in these short runs, but they were all super small town bars in Gearing, Nebraska. Small places.
I like stuff like that.
It's great.
I think so many comics just think about LA, New York, instead of looking at
clubs. Just want to do clubs.
It's harder doing a bar show than doing a club show.
Will grow so much more doing that shit than doing a club. Because a club 100%. Is protected, totally.
So easy, and everyone wants to laugh. And when you're doing a bar show, half the people don't even know what's going on. They're you're ruining their night because they're I was just trying to hang out.
Yeah, we came here to watch a game. What the fuck are y'all doing? I can't tell you how many of those we had. And then, the bartender tries to negotiate with you, can we just put, one TV on in the bar? And it's no! Mm-mm. No, I didn't pay to compete with Monday Night Football. But yeah, it can be a pain in the ass, but it was great. I did all that stuff the first year I was a comedian, and I feel that's why I grew so quickly, was because I did these really hard bar shows where sometimes your best material is not working.
Right.
And so it causes you to think on your feet. And learning how to write for dumb people is way harder than being clever.
Especially if you're taking clever things and making them. If you take things, I think one of the hardest things I ran into was taking things that were clever and about intellectual things and then making it accessible to everybody. I have water pollution material.
How you said it is way nicer than me saying writing smart material for dumb people.
Well, yeah, it's
you
not
said
even
accessible. That's better.
I've been working on my PC now.
Oh, have you? Mm-hmm. You're preparing for the road. Yeah. I got to be nice. Exactly. I got to be nice to these savages.
I did a show at a club 2 months ago, and I did really well, and then the booker, the owner of the club, emailed me and was like, hey, we'd love to have you come back for another spot this week, but could you just delete these jokes? Has that ever happened to you? Where they're like, hey, just don't
delete these jokes?
Delete these, don't do the Holocaust material, just don't do.
I always laugh too sometimes when like I've submitted for spots to like go feature places or headline places that are like in the South, and they're like, yeah, I don't know if the racial stuff will play. And I go, not only will it play, it will probably play in all the wrong ways. Like, I think you're not afraid that they're not going to like it. I think you're afraid that they're going to like it too much and your show's going to turn into a rally. Like, can we be honest with each other about that? But yeah, it's so funny to me when places are like, yeah, you can't do this, you don't do that. Like, it's almost like they're assuming what their audience is going to like and not like before you even, like, give it an opportunity. Like, give yourself the chance to be surprised.
Well, the best part was, is the next day, then people were tweeting the club, was like, oh my God, Vanessa had the most hilarious joke about soap. Like,
oh yeah, the soap joke. That's one of my favorite jokes of yours.
The soap joke. They're like, oh, it's so funny.
And that was the one that got me. I think I walked in and you were in the middle of your bit before that. And then you did that joke, and I was like, okay, I like this. I like this chick. She's fun. She's got jokes.
My controversial soap joke.
It's such a good joke. Yeah, but I like stuff like that. I like stuff like that that's like, it's clearly done in a way where you put thought into it. It's not just like edgy for the sake of being edgy, which a lot of people in LA do, or they've gone
through.
They
just want to shock instead of having any sort of thought behind it.
Yeah. It's like shock value material. But,
But food, though.
And television is the same. No, but television, the television business is the same way. And you've worked in TV. Mm-hmm. And you know, like, one of the things I run into with Food Network and with, like, pitching new ideas and stuff is they're like, listen, our audience won't like that. And I go, well, aren't you covered on all the things your audience already likes? Like, at what point do you decide to try to give them something different? And also, at what point do you try to bring in a new audience? Like, and bring in more people? Like, the big thing about me hosting the show that I host for Food Network is that I'm a comedian. I'm not a chef. I'm not a restaurateur. I'm the first non-food industry talent on that network in God knows how long that has had a successful show. And exactly what they want me to do is to follow the format of every other host. And it's like, well, then what's the point of having a comedian if you want me to talk about the same things that a chef does or the same things that somebody who's run restaurants does on their shows.
So do you feel like your format deviated a bit from what's typical?
Well, we try as much as we can, and we really push to get more and more of the stuff that we want to put in the show that does separate us from Triple D or from Man vs. Food or any of the other shows that have been like ours. But it's tough because they're pushed back all the time about, like, well, you know, one of the notes that one of my producers shared with me was, where you start to lose them is when it gets too much about comedy and not about food.
Mm. Like, what's happening right now?
Well, I mean, that's fine.
Half your fault, half your listeners are like, fuck Josh.
No, we talk
fuck
about
Josh
no.
and his cunt Vanessa that he just started to bring on the phone.
Wow, dropping the C-bomb.
I love that word.
I do too. It's so, there's no questioning what you're talking about. It's one of those things where, It's like you're constantly swimming upstream against what's always been done historically and what you're trying to do differently. And you've worked on the network side. Like, they have this idea in their head of, like, what works and what doesn't work. But that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy if you never try new things.
Yeah, and then, I mean, I worked at HBO for a couple of years. And I think one thing that networks also can fall into is that they become too self-absorbed in their own image, and they think that they're invincible, and whatever they think goes, whatever we do is going to be loved, and then this is what we know how to do perfectly. But what they don't account for is that people are constantly evolving and changing. That's one thing I think Netflix has done really well, is that they do the opposite of what you're saying, right?
Right.
Netflix is like, let's just build as much shit as possible to capture as much audience as possible, and what hits, hits great, what doesn't, fine, you know?
Well, and the thing is, though, that I think the big difference is Netflix is the only company that has real analytics on what works and what doesn't work. Because the Nielsen system is so fucking dated.
Right.
It's not accurate. You're looking at 100 people in Massachusetts and extrapolating those numbers out to 200,000, and it's nowhere near that. It's nowhere near accurate. And we do well Nielsen-wise, but it's one of those things of, like, you have no idea why. You really don't know. And they'll bring in focus groups, and like 12 people will then speak on behalf of 1.2 million. And there's some truth to it, but that's nowhere near like a real cross section of what your viewership is and what people like. I go based off of social media. When there's something that happens in the episode that people talk about or tweet about, that means those are the moments that we should look to create more of. And every moment that has happened out of the show because of that has been from something we did comedically that had nothing to do with the food stuff.
Right.
So, like, there was a moment where we were feeding sandwiches to these women that worked at a hospital nearby. And I was like, what department do you work in? And they were like, billing. And I was like, ooh, everyone's favorite part of going to the doctor. And so, like, being just sarcastic and shitty. And they're laughing. It's fun. We're having a good time. And then one of them starts to choke on her sandwich. And I'm just like, don't choke. Do you have any idea how much it's going to cost? So it was like this really kind of off the cuff moment that happened and that we actually got into the edit. And people were like talking about that moment and like, oh, that was really funny. We really liked that. And we're just like, let's put more of that in there.
Right.
Like, because that stuff happens constantly. It just doesn't make the edit. Mm. And so, but that's where they're very apprehensive, where they're just like, well, we don't know how far we can push before we lose people. And my thought is, mediocrity and continuing to be the status quo is dying slowly, like mm-hmm. a slow death.
Well, because what's happened is there's so much TV,
mm-hmm.
there's so much content out there that the only ones that are surviving at this point are being innovative and
right.
changing and are shocking in a way.
Well, and the problem is that with our industry, speaking about television instead of comedy per se, is that it's sort of like it's parody. And so when something takes off, everybody's racing to make the next whatever. Comedy's probably the same way, where like one comic will blow up big, everybody wants to be the next that.
Right.
So much to the point where like Amy Schumer got big, and now I feel like Amy Schumer's trying to be the next Amy Schumer. And that she's like chasing this person that she used to be, but because of her choices is no longer able to be that person. And so is trying to like find a way to get back to that without losing the new fan she's made because of her agenda and her point of view about the world and all this other activist shit that has nothing to do with her creativity.
Yeah, and a lot of female comics are trying to be Amy Schumer too.
Well, you went through that a couple years ago where everybody was just like, I fuck, right, guys? Like, I totally, that's what I do. I find dicks, I sit on them, deal with it. Like, that was like that whole push of, like, oh, these foul-mouthed, like, into, like, I'm open with my body. I fucking talk about. And that just became what female comedy was. The same way, like, I think Louis did the same thing with men. Chris Rock did the same thing with comedy when he came out. And I'm sure there were a million people trying to be George Carlin in the 70s and 80s.
There's a million people still trying to be George Carlin.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be George Carlin.
I mean, the only thing that I take from Carlin that I feel like is an essence of what I want to do is I feel like George used to make you hate your own opinions. And I feel like that's the magic of what made him so special, is that he could outline all the reasons you were right and then make you feel like it's the worst idea in the world. And that, to me, is the magic of comedy. To make people hate their own ideas or to question the things they believe strongly in, that's good. I think a lot of comics have switched gears to the point now where they're trying to tell you what to believe and they're trying to tell you what to think. And I don't think that's good. There's plenty of that. You need another air conditioning break right
now?
Oh,
no, no, I'm good. I was just wondering, like, do we ever talk about food?
We can talk about food.
I feel like I'm fucking it up.
Let's talk about
food. Evening from food.
No, there's not a format to this at all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
You would know that if you ever listened to it.
Well, I know, I didn't listen. I don't listen to podcasts.
Well, that's good. I'm sure you'll be very excited to be on this one.
I'm very excited to be here right now. I love being on podcasts. I love talking.
I just don't like listening.
And that's with everything in life. I don't like listening to
Do you
anybody.
Like listening to? Well, you've technically been on a shitload of podcasts because you were on all, like, Kill Tony for a year. What's that experience like?
So on Kill Tony, I was a regular and I would write a new minute every week. What's that experience?
Just the idea of being judged by people that you consider peers. And maybe you didn't at first, but I'm sure you do now.
You're saying like the people who, the comics who are really successful that we're judging, or are you saying the people in the audience? Because half the audience.
Either one.
Yeah.
Because it's a weird format. Like they do this on the patio, right, at the store.
They do it in the main room.
Oh, now it's in the main room. Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, it's in the main room.
There's like 300 people in the audience.
And people just go up and do a minute of time.
Right. Well, most of the people, so everyone's pulled from a bucket and they're all doing their best material. So they're doing their minute they've been working on for 4 years, and this is their best minute. So mm-hmm. I go up at the very end, and I, the material I'm doing is brand new. I just wrote it that week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's interesting because, like, that's not typical for most comics. Like, most comics would never showcase material that they wrote 4 days ago. You right. know what I mean? Like, you would never go on, like, Conan and be like, oh, I wrote this 4 days ago. I can't wait to do this in front of all
well,
of you.
Yeah, you might not. You wouldn't declare it, absolutely. But, like, I do material all the time the same day. Like, yeah. I'll write something or I'll go through my notes and be like, what was this idea? And then I'll just take an idea on stage.
But sometimes
and
do it crushes, and sometimes you have to, like, work on it.
Yeah.
I need to perfect it. So, yeah. With Kill Tony, it's, like, the same thing where sometimes, you know, there were some weeks where I was able to figure it out in a couple days and it did really well. And then some weeks it was material that took me, you know, a month to perfect it. So then when I did it on the podcast, it was a weekend. It wasn't quite there, you know? And I think a lot of the material I tend to do tends to be more, it's harder. Like, I have, like, water pollution material. You know what I mean? Like, that's hard to, like, figure out and make it accessible, funny. The things I think I tended to talk about tend to be a little bit less. It's not like dating. I talk about, yeah, I don't really talk about dating. I don't talk about my pussy. Like,
no.
You know, those things.
Which
are
I find refreshing. Which I find refreshing because it's that part of comedy is oversaturated.
Absolutely. If I hear another dating is hard fucking premise, I will shoot myself.
Are you guys on Tinder?
I want to literally go up there and be like, dating is easy. Look
yeah.
at me.
No. Do you fuck these guys? Like, you just have to make them think they can fuck you, and then it's pretty easy.
Every person. Dating is hard. Dating is hard.
Dating in L.A.
Swipe left, swipe right.
Dating in L.A. is like so... It's like the people just don't even... It's like they don't even see who you are. Like, I feel like so many open micers are poets who are just at the wrong venue. Like, you're doing the wrong thing.
That's funny.
But they also don't have the writing chops to be poets. So they're just up there bitching about, like, you guys poor? I'm poor. You guys date? It's hard, right?
A lot of comics do
Uber,
comedy.
Right, guys?
Oh, totally. A lot of comics, I think, a lot of comics do material for themselves. They don't do it for, like, they go up there, they want to be comics because it's about them. Oh, I want to be loved. I want to be accepted. I want to be the center. And, like, I feel like for me, it's never been about, it's not about me, which is surprising because I sound like a narcissistic cunt face. But, like.
When?
Just probably now.
Oh, okay. Probably. Let us know in the comments, everybody.
And just let, is Vanessa, like, everyone just assumes I'm, like, a dumb cunt, like, narcissist, you know? I think I'd come off that way.
No, it's your face.
It's my face. Just that face.
Just kidding.
Dude, for sure it's my fucking face. No. But, like, weirdly, like, when I'm on stage, it's not about me. It's not even necessarily about the audience. It's about, like, what we're talking. It's, like, what we're talking about.
Right.
It's almost like, for me, it's, like, a conversation with the audience. Like, this thing we're talking about, like, this water pollution stuff, like, that's fucking weird, right? It's like a shared experience between us.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It becomes a collective.
Fun story.
Yeah.
Like, so anticlimactic.
No, I think it's fine. And I think it's good to give people, like, insight into that, like, in terms of how you view it and how you want to do it and make it different.
Do you feel like it's about you? How do you feel? Yeah, it's about you.
No, not at all. I absolutely feel like I'm up there trying to create a product that people enjoy. And it is, like, that shared experience thing, but I don't really... Comedy for me is not about me being the center of attention. Like, I'm not one of those people that comes off of a show where 11 comics murdered and I feel bad because I wasn't the best.
Right.
Does that make sense? I'm competitive. Like, I would feel bad if I didn't do as well. But, like, I don't have that mindset. It's sort of like this. You used to race cars. We used to race cars in my family, and my father would always tell us, like, run your own race.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pick your spots, put the car where you want to put it, drive your own race as if there's nobody else on the track. And if you do that, you'll be successful. And I've always approached comedy that way, where I try to run my own race, where I go, these are the things I want to talk about, these are the things I want to do, and I don't believe anybody can do it the way that I do it. It might be better, it might be worse, but it's my way of talking about things. It's my way of presenting ideas. And therefore, like, it is its own thing. So I don't compare it to what other people are doing. I don't watch other comics.
That girl's a comic.
Oh, is she?
This girl going into this apartment building.
The one that was homeless? That makes
100%. The black chick that's standing
Yeah,
out.
I know. I see her. She's the only person standing in front of us.
Oh, you know what? She's probably post-mating.
Oh, word.
That's so funny.
So, yeah, but it's like... I don't look at it that way. I try to make it its own thing. I try to make it fun. But I'm not like impressed with myself when I do a good job. Like some people you'll see, they'll go up, they'll kill, and then they come off and they're just very impressed with themselves. Like, I fucking wrecked it. You will never hear me say, I killed that shit. Or I did. Cause I'm always looking back and going, okay, what worked? Could've what didn't work? I could have done that, but I fucked up the delivery on that. I did this backwards. Like I'm very technical about it because to me, it's like you're workshopping a product that you eventually want people to buy. Mm-hmm. And if it's not worth spending money on, you're not doing it. You know, like you're an amateur.
Right.
So to me, it's always, I always care about what the consumer experience is like. I always care about what the end user is receiving out of that. It has nothing to do with what I get out of it.
Right.
Like it's not a selfish art form for me. This is that.
The podcast
is just me talking about all of my own shit and how brilliant I am. And that's where I feel that way. But you want to talk about food, we'll get back into food. We'll take an air conditioning break and then we'll finish and we'll actually talk about food because I want to ask you about food because you have a food family.
Yeah.
It is funny because she's like, don't choke.
I'm just afraid I'm going to spill the water in your mic.
No, don't do that.
I know, I did it.
You didn't or you did?
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
It went in my nose.
It's funny because it's almost like she's describing. I'll just tell you what the apartment looks like. She doesn't want to let this poor woman in to actually look at it. She's like, it's very nice. There's two bedrooms. One is bigger than the other one. I believe they call that the master. I'm sorry, the main. They call it the main bedroom. She's like not letting her into the premises. It's super weird. Also, though, this looks like the creepiest fucking place you could live in all of LA that we're parked in front of.
This landlord looks like she has bodies in her fridge.
Oh, yeah.
She's long ginger hair down to
her
ankles.
Let's not make that a thing. I mean, ginger people are usually very nice and normal.
No, I know they're normal, but she.
Anybody with hair that long.
Oh, there's a black guy in there, so she's not completely racist.
He's the security guard, though. Look how he's dressed. He's leaving. He's finishing his shift.
She literally is, like, auditioning to be a tenant.
Yes. And there's like this weird, I don't like that green stuff, like that green behind the fence.
Metal?
Yeah, like whatever that is.
Sheet metal?
Yeah. Well, people used to use that shit as like soffitting in houses in like the 50s and 60s, that awful aqua green. People know what this stuff is. They have it behind the balcony fencing on the second floor, so it just makes this place 10 times more tacky.
So those of you who cannot see what we're
saying. Everyone. There's no video version.
Yeah.
You're saying those of you, like, there's a version.
Which is everyone.
Yes.
This week on People Watching LA, there's a black woman.
I like how you stuttered with that. There's a, how do I say this?
A black woman who is a comic that I know that we have not said hi to, standing outside of our car through a gate, talking to a landlord on the other side of the gate about renting an apartment, and the white landlord won't let her in to the yard.
She insists on conducting the conversation through the gate, which is, you know,
kind of racist.
Yeah. Now, I wonder if these white people are coming up to look at it and she just, like, lets them in. How funny would that be if they're just like, oh, yeah, we would like to see the apartment. And she goes, oh, go on in and take a look.
It looks like she's describing how the apartment looks on the inside.
That's what I said. She's like, narrate. I'll just tell you. It's very nice.
It's like a Get Out situation.
Yeah.
Did you see Get Out?
No, I haven't yet. I really have to go see it. I'm sure I'll like it after. It's funny, too, because people are saying, like, oh, it's about how polite racism is actually worse than, like, raw racism.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, I lived in Minnesota for 11 years. I'm fully aware of what polite racism is like. Oh, how about that? Yeah. You made it all the way to school today, did you? How did you do that, considering both your parents are in prison? No. But it is a lot of that, like, very nice racism, which is fun. Food stuff,
yeah.
Vanessa, you wanted to talk about food. So your sister's like a chef, right?
Yeah, I
remember before you realized I had a girlfriend, you were trying to hook me up with her. Like,
my sister,
you were like, my
together.
Sister's a chef. You guys should be married.
Oh my
and I was
God.
Like, oh, okay.
So cute. She's also thick, but like gorgeous.
Okay.
And she's a pastry chef cook at Spago.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Wolfgang Puck's restaurant.
Yeah, I know what
Spago is.
Yeah,
for your listeners who don't know.
Oh, okay, yeah, fair
enough. Because I'm a good podcast guest.
Oh, cool, all right. I was waiting for that to start. yes, Wolfgang Puck's restaurant in Beverly Hills, and she's the pastry. So, in other words, it's a big deal. Like, it's a big deal place to be a pastry chef at. And you say thick, but she's a pastry chef, so, like, You kind of have to be.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trust you if you were a pastry chef. I'd be like, you don't taste shit. This is probably the worst dessert ever.
It's all like gluten free.
Yeah.
Dairy free.
Yeah. Flavor free. Joy free. That's cool though. But did you, was she always like a food person growing up? Is she younger than you?
Yeah, she's younger. She's
22. Oh, okay.
I'm the food person. So I would always cook all of our Thanksgiving, all of our holiday meals. And I was always the person. I was like, we have to go to this restaurant. Like, we need to go to Animal. We need to go. Like, I would drive like an hour just to go to some fucking place in San Gabriel Valley. And she, I told her she had to get a job, and she applied like everywhere. She applied to, like,
PetSmart. These people just shook hands through the fence, like prison. It's so creepy. Continue. You would drive super far, and you.
Yeah. So I was like, you need to get a job. And she applied to like every place, like just regular jobs. She applied to PetSmart. PetSmart wouldn't even interview her. She started crying. She's like, when she was 18, she's like, if PetSmart won't hire me, how will I ever get a job? So she applied to be a dishwasher at this cake bakery place, and they hired her as a dishwasher when she was 18. And then she like worked her way up to like frosting.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Yeah. She worked her way up to frosting. That's hilarious.
And then she went on to culinary school and like worked for like John George. In New York. And like,
that's amazing.
Yeah. So she's killing it.
Why on earth would we not have done this episode at Spago eating your sister's food?
That would have been dope.
That would have made so much sense.
It's so expensive. We get a discount, but like,
it doesn't matter.
Our desserts are like $25.
It's deductible. It's all I spend money just for the purposes of writing it off. I'm very Jewish.
That's so
that
much
way.
Paper. You're Jewish?
No, not at all.
Oh.
I just like to adopt some of the tendencies. Uh-huh. The frugality. I like a good corned beef. I think those are the only two ways.
What's your favorite?
I'm circed. That counts. Is that still a Jewish thing?
What's your favorite diner in L.A.?
Langer's?
Denny's?
Fuck off. No, my favorite diner in L.A. is probably Coral Cafe in Burbank.
Really?
Yeah, I like that one. Or I like Swingers on Beverly. I like Swingers a lot.
Those aren't Jewish diners, though.
No, they're not
Jewish
places.
Jew.
Well, I just went to Nate Now's with Mark Summers on the last episode, so I guess that one, that's a good one. It's kind of funny because it's like an old Jewish deli, but it's in the middle of Beverly Hills, like where all the high-end shops are, so it's just sort of like Princess Store, Expensive Luggage Store.
She's removing the rent sign. Lady looks like she's a fucking witch.
Yeah, and then Nate and Al's. I really wish we were videoing this and had a way to deliver that to people.
I feel like we could have done this podcast just taking videos and not talking.
Yeah, just like let life unfold.
They probably would have enjoyed it more. So we're.
Don't you say what people enjoy. We're down to the last two listeners of this show, and I'll be damned if they're going to tell me how to do it.
For all you three listeners.
For both of you listening to this. No, it's fun. I feel like the more of these we do, the better. So, you asked me, like, what's my favorite place? Like, what's your favorite kind of food? Like, or what's your favorite food memory?
Fuck.
Do you have, like, one dedicated favorite food memory?
Ugh. I mean, shit. I love food.
You were eating
food.
Shit. That's a very crazy thing.
One of my favorite, okay, so there's this fish shack in Malibu. Which sounds like it'd be, like, super fancy, but it's not.
Talk about the one on the water?
Yeah, Malibu Seafood.
Yep, I've been there.
That's one of my favorite places.
Yeah, it's great.
And I went there the first year I moved to L.A., and the food is, like, affordable, and it's really fresh.
Not the best. It's, like, not the highest-end place you'll go.
No.
But it's such a beautiful way to spend a lunch.
But the food's good.
It's good, yeah.
It's really good food, and it's, it's not, like, $1 million for a fucking shrimp. And
guys, progress. She's in the gate. She's in the gate. It's 2017.
I like how she like went through the first part of the interview, and now she's showing her where the pot. She's literally showing her the garden.
She's like, "This is the garden. This is where we grow the nonsense. This is where your chores will be." Yeah, this is a terrifying view on social. Like, I feel like if I went to a mic and this girl described this experience, I would be like, "That's completely made up story." And then you're looking at it, you're like, "No, this is." She's laughing. Because this is all going to turn into comedy.
For sure.
She's going to be like, yeah, you know the old woman from Great Expectations? I live in her house now.
Ugh.
Favorite food memory. Like, we keep deviating.
She looks like she was like the witch in Hocus Pocus.
Yes, the Bette Midler witch, right?
Food. So,
Barbara Streisand. It was Bette Midler.
I feel like now since you've been on this food show, you don't even want to talk about food anymore.
No, I do. I do. Totally do.
You're like, oh, it's food all day.
What I don't want to do is describe what things taste like, because that is that becomes the most difficult part of the job, is finding new ways to describe flavors.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's hard.
So I'm not supposed to do that? What does that mean?
No, it doesn't mean anything to you. You just brought up what I hate about the show, and it's just like the monotony of describing.
Like, I can taste the soil it was grown by.
No, I don't ever say that. I've never tasted anything
Mexicans.
Like that. Yeah. Hope. I can taste the immigrant labor it took to harvest these vegetables. Yeah. I've never thrown that one out.
It's corn. Harvested by Aztec. Ancestors. Okay,
so that's one of your best memories is the Malibu place. And the thing I love about that restaurant is that it's open air seating.
Yeah.
So like, even though it's the whole restaurant isn't on the water, it's got like the roll up windows and you're just kind of like looking out into
the Pacific
Ocean.
It's completely open. You smell the ocean.
Have you ever been there in the middle of the day when it's just dead and it's just like you and one other table?
Best.
It's so nice. It's one of the most peaceful.
I only go there during the week at 3 p.m.
It's one of the most peaceful places you can go in all of L.A. So that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I don't know if I have an L.A. one.
I have a New York one. Have you been to Dominic's Cronut place in New York?
No, I hear that's great.
This is
though.
My shittiest one. This is my shittiest
food. This is your
story.
Shittiest food memory?
Yeah.
What's so shitty about it?
So the wait for, there's this really famous, this guy started the Cronut, whole Cronut thing, right?
Yep, every guy that has a Cronut place says he started it.
But this guy was actually the founder.
Okay.
Dominic.
Yeah.
Ansel.
I believe. I have no reason not to believe you.
Okay. He invented the
Cronut. I believe you. I 100% believe you.
It's a 2-hour wait on like a Tuesday
morning. Yeah.
When people are supposed to be at jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was in New York and I like waited in line for 2 hours to go to this fucking place by myself because I was with people and they're like, hey, you got this, right? So they left me halfway through
wait. I would eat all their Cronuts.
They left me halfway through wait. And so I got the Cronuts and then I came back to my apartment and my dog was with me because I used to take her everywhere and I put the Cronuts on the table and my
dog ate the Cronuts.
My dog ate the fucking Cronuts.
Did you put it down?
Listen.
That's what I would have done. Listen. I would have been like, this dog is dead.
So like, but there's a little piece left of the
Cronut. You ate it?
Yeah.
You ate it out of the dog's mouth?
Yeah.
Oh wow, you're so gross.
Oh my God, there's a little piece left. There's one piece left, so I was like, oh, fuck you. Like, I'm going to try this fucking Cronut. It wasn't that good. I don't know if it's because, like, the dog
You're like, I don't know if it's because the dog had gotten to it or if it's just not a great Cronut.
I don't know if, like, the raspberry cream Cronut was not designed to go with fucking dog saliva, but it wasn't that special.
Yeah, dog saliva will flatten out a creme tart flavor immediately.
I got so mad when I was waiting in line that I wrote, like, an essay on Yelp. Like, I mean, like, a review.
Oh, of, like, how bad
I left a review on the place that was, like, I don't know. I was, like, really angry. I was, like, you Catholic. I, like, pulled in Catholics. I don't even remember why. It got, like, 30 likes. Said it was funny, though. So I was, like, that's all that matters.
And that was how you became a comedian, waiting in line for Cronuts.
I started as a Yelp comedian.
Yelp. Yeah, I'm really big on Yelp. That's going to be my new thing. There's Twitter comics and meme Instagram comics. I'm going to be the first Yelp comedian. Well, second, because you were the first.
I mean, you know.
Well, that's cool. What do you have coming up? Do you have anything to plug?
Sure.
Shows,
I'll
right?
I'll be in Ridgefield, Washington, May 4th, 5th, and 6th at Joker's.
Okay.
I'm going to be at the Punchline in San Francisco. Don't know the date, so that doesn't matter. Pretend like I didn't say that. That's like the main thing. Check out my podcast, The Morbid Report, on iTunes. We talk about fucked up world news.
So just world news.
Yeah, exactly. Just news.
That you missed that. That car almost smashed into your car doing a U-turn.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's probably good that you had your back turned to it. Well, thanks for coming on the podcast and enduring this vicious heat with me.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.